Our next guest, Peter Drury, is calling the Brighton and Chelsea match. Peter, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good to talk to you, Jeff.
So, Glenn Murray, Andy Carroll, I mean, Aidan Dzeko, I can kind of see, but if people had said to you at the start of the year that in this transfer window we'd be talking about Andy Carroll going to Chelsea, I don't know if you would have believed them, would you?
I would have believed them just about as much as I believe it really is happening now.
Okay.
So I'm concurring with you absolutely. It seems completely extraordinary and desperate, mm-hmm. actually. Probably desperate on Chelsea's part, but if not, I don't know, maybe indicative of the kind of desperation that football fans and maybe even journalists feel at this time of year when we do go into a sort of silly season, a crazy spell of all sorts of speculation and suggestion. But listen, these stories appear to have some basis. And if Chelsea really are, with great respect to a terrific professional footballer, talking about signing Peter Crouch, who is well into his dotage now, mm-hmm. then Chelsea aren't where they really want to be, are they?
No, and that's, you know, look, you're right. No, you know, disrespect to any of those players. I mean, even, you know, I was kind of joking about Glenn Murray. I mean, these guys are all professionals. But, you know, when I look at a club like Chelsea and I look at the January transfer window, I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's a name out there that you can get, but by and large, you should just be kind of, you know, buttressing areas where you're weak. And I certainly panic. Panic doesn't, to me, shouldn't generally enter the or desperation shouldn't enter the dialogue when you're ever. I don't think when you're talking about a big club in the Premiership. I don't think it's the way you can survive.
Correct, and I suppose. And listen, we're all guilty of changing our minds week on week. That's the nature of sports, and it's the nature of watching sport. And having through the autumn, sometimes really been quite excited by looking at Alvaro Morata. Mm-hmm. Right now, I have to say, he looks a bit lame. You know, it's not happening for him. His frustration boiled over. He got sent off in the FA Cup the other night, so he doesn't play tomorrow because of suspension. But he's just not delivering goals in the way that Chelsea hoped he would repeatedly. And given that clearly the manager doesn't appear to have a great deal of faith in Michy Batshuayi, he is lacking a centre-forward that he is able to trust. And hence, I suppose, this desperation. And I suppose if you're making a case for Chelsea and for Conte, you have to say that any manager is only as good as the star players he recruits. And if they don't perform, then he's in a bit of a tight spot. And clearly he feels this spot is so tight that he might have to sort of plaster over the wound in a very temporary way with some sort of very temporary signing, even if he is 36, 37 years old, mm-hmm. and to all intents and purposes, probably beyond his best.
For tomorrow's match against Brighton Hove Albion, would you expect to see Eden Hazard in some sort of false nine role to start the match?
I guess so, yeah. That would be my guess. I mean, there are two very plain alternatives, Jeff. It hardly needs me to tell you. But, I mean, one of those is to play Batshuayi as the centre-forward, regardless of the fact that he doesn't appear convinced by him. Either to give Batshuayi one last chance, or because he thinks that is the best chance of scoring a goal against Brighton, or even perhaps, and this is a very cynical one, to make a point, as if to sort of show the world, look, this is what I'm down to. Mm-hmm. But I'm more inclined to believe that, he will involve Azar further forward, which he has done out of choice previously this season, even when the crisis wasn't quite as deep as it is now. So, yeah, I would think Azar will play. Fabregas behind him and Willian behind him. I mean, Chelsea, even without the suspended players, have a first 11 they can put out, which really ought to be Brighton. Azar, of course, is the most penetrative and exciting and potent of the lot.
Willian's been a guy who has kind of intrigued me. I mean, there are times he certainly takes advantage of his opportunities, but there are times where it appears as if Conte is reluctant to go all in on him. Is there a reason for that, Peter? Is it just simply, you know, down to a personnel decision or personnel matter? Because to me, he's got to be in the lineup every day. Every time I watch him play, he's industrious. You know, he's got a little bit of creativeness to him. He always seems to do something when he's playing.
I agree. I love watching him play. I think in terms of goals and his famous set pieces, he's not been quite as productive this year as he has in previous years. And you'd be quite right to retort by saying, well, he hasn't been given as much game time. So how can he? But when they are all fit and available, and when they are playing a centre forward in Morata, essentially the manager has to pick from Pedro, Willian, Azar, Fabregas. Two of those four play. And you're right, it does appear to be that more times than not, it's Willian who is one of those who misses out. And you're not alone. You're not alone in thinking that's a bit of a harsh reflection of how he plays. But I think we're all agreed that basically Hazard has to play.
Right.
So then you're talking about a 1-in-3 situation with Fabregas, Pedro and Willian in the other sort of attacking midfield position. So it's tough competition. And I think Fabregas has been playing well, actually, on the whole. Although, obviously, it's been a sort of pretty plain last month or so for Chelsea.
Peter, the Alexis Sanchez move has not been finalized yet. The holdup seems to be, more than anything, Henrik Mkhitaryan going to Arsenal. Everybody seems to think it's going to get done. What does this move accomplish for Manchester United from a tactical point of view? And does it... I mean, Man City's still running away with this thing, but does this maybe help Manchester United in either in Champions League or looking ahead to next year? It would certainly help them.
Well, it helps them because he's a very, very good player. And I think also, this is too expensive just to be fluff or PR. It's much too expensive. With some of the figures are eye-watering in terms of how much he's going to be paid and so on. But... regardless of that, I think it is, in terms of image, a very, very good moment for Manchester United, assuming it goes through, because never mind the number of points they got in the Premier League by comparison with Manchester City, the perception of United alongside Manchester City has suffered really badly this year in terms of the type of football they play. I mean, everybody is just purring about Manchester City and loving what they do. And Manchester United, though they're by no means having a bad season, are perceived, fairly or otherwise, as a little bit functional. And so to have someone who sprinkles a bit of stardust on their football makes them a really positive headline, makes them a more attractive watch, I think is a really fantastic acquisition for them. Just to have a moment in time where Manchester City might be a shade jealous of Manchester United will feel at Old Trafford. They need this moment. Clearly, it's too late to do anything about who's going to win the title this year. But I think it'll be a great option for Mourinho next year. I mean, Ibrahimovic can't go on forever unless Chelsea are looking maybe to sign him at the age of 46 or something. and Lukaku blows hot and cold. And if Sanchez just picks up the new challenge in the way that he picked up the Arsenal challenge when he first went there, I think it'll be really exciting for United.
Did Liverpool expose anything about Man City in that win last weekend? Is there anything in that match that other teams can look at and go, aha? Or, is it just simply a matter of, hey, you got four goals, you should win?
Well, what that showed was that Manchester City's defence is potentially vulnerable to the sort of players that Liverpool have. The problem, if you're asking whether other teams could look at it and say, wow, this is how you beat Man City, is that other teams don't have the players Liverpool have. It was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant watch. Fabulous game. But it's not being wise after the event to say that many of us believed that if City were going to be beaten, that was the game they might be beaten in. Mm-hmm. Because Liverpool have these ferociously quick front players who just ripped into City. The only, be silly to be too critical of City at this time. I thought the only time I felt City were, or one of their players was particularly weak, was when Firmino just nudged off John Stones. I thought that was surprising to see a big, sturdy central defender like that so easily sort of swatted off the ball like an annoying wasp. But that aside, it was just sheer pace and football of a sort of courageous nature that you have to have a particular set of players to be able to play.
I thought that if that's the way Firmino is going to respond to Coutinho not being there, it's going to be good for Liverpool, because I was really impressed with the way he worked in that match and just the edge that he showed. And you know, I think sometimes he gets overlooked a little bit, doesn't he? And I think he's got a lot to prove, because it's a World Cup year. Brazil, I mean, he's not guaranteed to start for Brazil. I don't think he'll certainly be in the club, but I don't know if he's guaranteed to start. But if he keeps putting in performances like that, it's going to be awfully hard for Brazil to overlook him.
I agree. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. And I think you identify something quite interesting there. You know, we talk about these footballers from all over the world who come and play in the Premier League as if they were robots or just sort of automatic performers. And, of course, they're human beings. And so all of the big headlines about Coutinho going from Liverpool to Barcelona, fantastic. But think of them as individuals. And Firmino's just lost his mate, you know. Those were the two Brazilians who kept each other company in a strange city in the northwest of England, thousands and thousands of miles from home. And you might think he might consider himself a little bit bereft. I'm not asking people to feel overly sorry. You know, these guys are extremely well paid and he'll be living in beautiful accommodation. It's not a problem. But in terms of human companionship, he might have felt a tiny bit sorry for himself. And it was, as you say, as if he went out there, flexed his muscle and said, you know, I'll show them I don't need him. And I thought he was absolutely fantastic. He looks like a proper centre forward, a proper number nine. And it wasn't just flair. It was a real heart-on-sleeve performance. And great to see. And listen, people will hate to hear this, whether they're Liverpool fans or not. But yet again, you can't help but feel Liverpool next season really could be onto something. Mm. They're in danger of becoming what Tottenham have been for the last 30 years. They're always next season's club. Mm. And, you know, one of these days they've got to make it happen, or they'll pick up that same Spurs tag. But on their day, clearly, Liverpool can rip up anyone if they keep that 11 together. And I think it'll be really good for the Premier League if one of the most famous clubs in the world with such deep history were finally to become champions of England after all these years and for the first time, as it were, in the modern generation.